This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A new partnership provides mental health service for children in West Virginia, and parents say it's badly needed.
I know what that feels like to have a child who's struggling and truly not have anybody that can see them. You know, I was 3, 6, or 12 months away from services. There just wasn't anybody to help.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Legislators will convene at the state capitol in Charleston this morning at 11 for the second special session of the year. Governor Jim Justice issued a proclamation over the weekend calling for lawmakers to consider 27 items in the days ahead. Among them, a plan to reduce personal income tax by 5% and to create a 50% child independent care tax credit. Also on the agenda, whether to let public charter schools apply for school building authority money, whether to authorize the state to work with the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission to control sources of radiation, and a plan for the state to develop a clinical opioid treatment center. One topic missing from the agenda: homeschooling. There have been numerous calls to address homeschooling, but Justice said Friday he felt that should be left to the regular session that starts in February. West Virginia Public Broadcasting will follow developments during the special session. Check back here for the latest news or visit us online at wvpublic.org. Marshall County author Mark Harshman has spent decades writing poetry in children's books. He has served as West Virginia State Poet Laureate since 2012, and his 2023 poetry collection, Following the Silence, is a 2024 West Virginia Common Read selection. This year, Harshman was recognized by Shepherd University as the 2024 Appalachian Heritage Writer in Residence. During his visit to Shepherdstown, Harshman sat down with reporter Jack Walker to discuss his work and Appalachian literature at large.
First, I just want to ask, how has your week been? I know your schedule has been jam-packed with a lot of different events and activities. What's this week been like? How's your visit to Shepherd been so far?
It was terrific. It was a lovely time. I saw all kinds of people in all kinds of settings. Visited three different high schools, and there's something very satisfying about doing that. I, of course, enjoy talking a little bit about poetry and trying to make sure that the students see that poetry is something that can be accessible and inspiring and fun. But I have to say, part of what I most enjoy is fielding the questions from the students after I've spoken about poetry and read a few of my own poems, and to field their questions, which in every instance at all three schools were highly articulate and interesting.
We are talking today in West Virginia's Eastern Panhandle, but you are visiting from a different panhandle, the Northern Panhandle.
That's right.
So you're obviously already familiar with Appalachia as a region. It's home to you. Speaking to that, many of your works are rooted in Appalachia, its heritage, its culture. Just broadly, how do you see Appalachia and its culture influencing your work and manifesting in these stories?
But I'll say this, you know, I have lived my adult life in northern West Virginia. There is a sense of community and a reverence for the landscape in Appalachia that is very finely tuned. And I think perhaps nowhere else in the country is that sense of heritage as rich and as a matter of pride as much as it is here in Appalachia. And of course, West Virginia is at the epicenter of the whole Appalachian region. And I consider it a privilege to have lived my life here. I think the poems, certainly many of them, reflect the natural landscape as well, however, as reflecting some of the challenges and frustrations of living in a place that too often has been beset by political prejudice, from outside and poverty. It's a demand that is a delight to pursue when I'm writing about the beauty of the fields and woods, but also a challenge when I think about the extractive industries that have been so cruel.
What do you think Appalachian writers' responsibility is to touch on these topics or to address these topics? And what power do you think literature has to make real change in that regard?
I do think there's a kind of a seduction that can go on with good literature about certain issues like that. And I do think that when I think of something like mountaintop removal mining or the fracking industry in my part of the state, they're horrific practices. And in the end, they are not going to have been worth the degradation to the environment that they've caused. And we are, it's not climate change, it's a climate crisis. And the best thinkers, the best scientists make it quite clear there is no escaping the urgency that faces all of us to change and do something in our private lives.
And you're an author who obviously stretches across genre. Could you expand on this interplay between the genres that you write in and what kind of links there are between them?
There is a succinctness of form that's similar between writing a children's picture book and writing a poem. You try to say as much as you possibly can with as few words as possible. Now, yes, of course, the audience is distinctly different, and that means that the language will be at perhaps a different level for those two, but the that impulse to say as much as one can in a condensed form, that's something shared, I think, between some of my poetry and certainly my children's books.
You also have served as the West Virginia Poet Laureate. Forgive me if I'm wrong, it's about 12 years now, is that right?
12 or starting my 13th.
I was wondering, could you just tell me a little bit about, you know, this role you have in terms of representing the Mountain State, representing West Virginia? What has that meant for you?
It's been an honor and a privilege. I'm humbled by it. I never dreamed that I would get the call from the governor's office appointing me to be the next Poet Laureate back in 2012. As I've said numerous times, not just this week, but ever since my appointment almost, my understanding of the role has grown. Not only do I want to obviously trumpet the achievements of my fellow poets here in West Virginia, but very quickly I realized I want to promote the achievements of all the literary arts, my fellow poets and novelists and short story writers. And quickly that I began to realize, well, this has to include the nonfiction writers as well and journalists. And then suddenly, because it's such a small state, I realized what a unique platform I have to speak. So it's a pleasure to also begin, promoting dancers and sculptors and painters and musicians. And so whenever I can, if somebody has a new piece of music out or somebody's got a great art exhibit being placed somewhere, I want to make sure people know about it.
That was author Mark Harshman, this year's Appalachian Heritage Writer in Residence at Shepherd University, speaking to Jack Walker about his work and his perspective on Appalachian literature. For an extended version of this interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Areas of fog this morning, scattered rain, thunderstorms possible this afternoon, highs in the 60s and 70s. Tonight, a chance of rain, lows in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with rain and thunderstorms possible, highs in the 60s and 70s. At the beginning of the year, West Virginia's Department of Education partnered with the Cook Center for Human Connection to offer free online mental health resources to students and their parents. The pilot project began in just 5 counties, but education officials were so impressed with the feedback they received that in May, they expanded the program to include all of West Virginia's 55 counties. Emily Rice has more.
The U.S. Surgeon General has issued multiple advisories in recent years, sounding the alarm on the mental health of the nation's children. According to the CDC, adolescent mental health in the U.S. was worsening before the COVID-19 pandemic, and now it's a full-blown mental health crisis. One 2021 study found the number of youth experiencing depression and anxiety has doubled since the public health emergency began.
We are in a youth mental health crisis in the country. The Surgeon General has identified that, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Foundation for Children's Hospitals. So that's not the surprise, but there are certain states that have extra challenges.
That's Anne Brown, president and CEO of the Cook Center for Human Connection, a national organization working to end suicide that operates parentguidance.org. In West Virginia, from November 2021 to October 2022, more than 3,000 children visited WVU Medicine emergency rooms for mental health care. According to WVU Medicine Children's Hospital, in 2019, that number was about 2,000. A 2021 study by the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, found that 708,000 people in West Virginia live in a community that does not have enough mental health professionals.
I live that. I know what that feels like to have a child who's struggling and truly not have anybody that can see them. You know, I was 3, 6, or 12 months away from services, whether I wanted a counselor, a therapist, or if I wanted a psychiatrist. There just wasn't anybody to help.
NAMI also found that more than 55% of West Virginians aged 12 to 17 who have depression did not receive any care in the last year.
This group of parents and children are struggling with mental health on a level that we've never seen before as a nation. And so the families don't know exactly where to turn. And so the reality is that 80% of families rely first on schools for their child's mental health.
The National Association of School Psychologists recommends a ratio of one school psychologist per 500 students. The group's figures show it is more than twice that ratio.
In a school setting, the school psychologist really is the person who helps support and intervene in those situations for families and for children.
Michelle Blatt, state superintendent of West Virginia schools, says in 2023, West Virginia's school psychologist to student ratio was one per 1,750 students. She says the need for youth mental health services has never been greater.
It's just critical that we find a way to be able to support all of our families and all of our students, regardless of where they live in our state.
Five West Virginia counties participate in Project AWARE, a federally funded initiative to expand school-based mental health services in the state. Blatt says she heard feedback that there wasn't enough support for parents in that program, so she started looking for something to fill the gaps.
We started investigating and looking around the various programs and was introduced to the Cook Center and their parentguidance.org opportunity that they had, and got positive feedback when they connected us with some other areas that were using it. And so we decided to pilot it.
The pilot began in Cabell, Clay, Harrison, Logan, and Wirt counties, allowing students, parents, and school personnel to log into parentguidance.org and peruse the catalog of courses 24/7 for free.
Feedback we were getting was that it was received very positively. It was easy to use. It wasn't hard for parents to log into the system and to gain access. And just having something that our schools could provide to parents was really starting to make an impact.
After the success of the pilot, the West Virginia Department of Education entered a three-year contract with the Cook Center to make parentguidance.org available to families at no cost to the user.
We're paying about $3 million for a three-year contract for these services for all parents, grandparents, foster parents, guardians of our students. And we're utilizing the COVID relief funding that we received from the federal government to cover this contract at this time.
While these free resources are available to all students, parents, and school staff, they are online resources, and not all West Virginians have access to reliable internet. A 2020 survey conducted by WVU found that 83% of West Virginians have access to the internet in their homes. That survey also found in West Virginia, those with low income incomes and those with lower educational attainment have the lowest rates of access to the internet. Older residents also reported lower rates of access and ability to use the internet, which could be an issue for some grand families trying to access these mental health resources. Blatt says West Virginia's internet connectivity was first addressed by the Department of Education when the COVID-19 pandemic forced schools to close and instruction to be conducted virtually.
Most student instruction went virtual. At that time, we did some partnerships and actually put in public internet access points in the parking lots of every public school, library, higher education facility, and even our National Guard armories around the state.
Many of these public internet access points are still operational, but if a parent or guardian doesn't have access to the internet, they can contact their school administrator, counselor, or teacher, according to Blatt.
There's a lot of programs out there that will provide a hotspot for our families or some type of connectivity so that they can utilize the resources, with whether it's our one-on-one computing programs with our students or if it's something like parentguidance.org.
For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Kaelin Bailey, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.